next guest, our next speaker is Christian Melendez. Let's reach out to Christian and see if we can get him dialed in here. Okay, here we go. Going to fly out from Prague. We're going to go see if we can find Christian hanging out. Christian, can you hear us?
Yeah.
There we go. Christian, you are live here with us here at .NET Conf.
Cool. Awesome.
So welcome, and you're going to talk about CI/CD pipelines for Kubernetes. Great stuff. Take it away.
Yeah. The idea is to that you can create a CI/CD pipeline for Kubernetes using Azure DevOps, which has been rebranded to Azure DevOps from BSDS. Yep. So I guess I should start now. Welcome, everybody. Let me start by, the session is going to start with saying a typical story how you will do the usual things on when delivering software. And then I'm going to suggest some things and how you can improve things. And later, at the end, I'm going to show you how to actually create a CI/CD pipeline. So let's start with a typical story on day one. A typical story is that dev finishes coding and then push changes to a control repository. Then someone or something else builds the app that is generated. It's compiled and things like that. Then developer deployed to a non-production environment. That task is mainly by themselves. They have to have everything ready. They test for example, in development environment, and they make sure that everything is working great. So after that, now it's time to move changes to another environment. So they're ready. They are confident that everything will keep working. But surprise, surprise, you always have difficulties and not everything works as expected, as you could imagine. So the many problems arise here, and they have to go again and fix things, and they have to start working on trying to solve those problems. So ideally, when they are trying to move that to, for example, a testing environment, they will run a set of tests that are executed, hopefully, in an automated fashion. And if everything is okay, they continue with the next environment. If not, they will start over again. So this is a repeated cycle, but they have to spend like a really good time in trying to move things from outside from their computer to a productive environment. So this is day two. Usually it is not as easy as just copy paste the artifacts to the servers. So then comes the day three, assuming that everything worked as expected. And then sysadmin, DBAs, and security folks are called. They are called because they need to check things and make sure that we don't have security holes in the application, that we are compliant with the regulation of the company, the policy that the company has. And the DBAs has to check that the scripts that we are about to deploy are working, and they have. We are not going to truncate a table or drop a table, so they it's always good that they get involved. Developers then need to change code again. This is usually the normal way, if there, especially if this is a big change. But if we're talking about small changes, this usually doesn't take too much time. But let's bear in mind that we're talking about doing big changes. Then sysadmins and DBAs deploy changes to production. And usually, after that, sysadmins versus developers versus everyone, that fight starts. Why? Because sysadmins are trying to have a stable environment. Developers are trying to push the changes as soon as possible because they are being pressured by management and so on. So the thing is that you will have a lot of problems when there are silos and you don't have a good communication with the teams. So there has to be a better way, right? Actually, there is. So let me share with you some of the things that I've been reading about on my blog on how to make deployments smoother. This is based on a book that I read a few years ago from Jess Humble called Continuous Delivery, which I would recommend you to give it a try to that book. And basically, in that book, the things that you will get as a recommendation is that you should automate as much as possible. There are trade-offs, as always, as with everything, but try to automate those repetitive tasks that are boring, basically. Build and pack your application only once. This is great stuff because you don't have to worry about building and compiling again in another environment. That doesn't give you enough confidence that you are pretty sure that you're testing the code that it worked on a previous environment, right? So the idea of building and packing your application only once gives you that confidence. Deploy the same way all the time will let you feel feel more confident. It will increase your confidence on deploying things because once it works in development, it should be the same. It should be working on a production environment. And I really mean with this because I've seen many problems with workshops that are not doing they're not applying this rule basically. They are treating a production environment really special, and they think that well, development we can do whatever we want, we can install whatever we want, let's give access to everyone so they can play around with that environment. That's the developer environment, and so I agree with them. It is not always a good thing that you don't have a way to practice your deployments to production. So as long as you have a non-production environment in previous environments, you'll be all good. This deploying in small batches and do it often. This sounds like really easy, and actually it is, but what if I haven't finished a feature or if I haven't, of if my working or in my or if my code is having problems? Well, there are some strategies that you can implement in your code that are called feature flags. So if you need to deploy something because you need to fix something and you don't want to revert your code and create branches and things like that, you can always turn off the flag and you will be practicing that deployment. I've been experiencing that in other projects where we are deploying the changes to a big change in the architecture. Little by little, and it has worked for me. So that is a recommendation that I can give you today. Choose a zero downtime strategy so that the customers, your clients, will notice that you have that you are changing something. Some of those strategies are called blue-green deployments, canary releases, etc. This is a not common practice, trunk-based development, meaning that. You shouldn't be using. What? Oh, Jess Humble. Yep, cool. So as I was saying before, the trunk-based development is not usually a common practice. I didn't know until I wrote an article about this topic. I received a lot of comments there that why should we do trunk-based development? Branches are good, they work. And as I agree with them, what I don't agree with the approach of having branches is that you will keep branches for a long time. You're good to go with branches as long as you keep them short. The lifetime of that branches is short. That way, it is easy and it is more smooth to implement continuous integration, basically. And that's basically the idea. I'm not saying that you shouldn't be using branches never. It's just that for continuous integration, trunk-based development is a really good practice. Finally, work with environment variables, meaning that as I was saying before, you will build and pack your application only once. So how are you going to test that in other environments? The way that you're going to do that is to work with environment variables. And basically, these are the recommendations that I have for you. How can you do that is the trick. And that's why we have Kubernetes containers. And that's why we have tools like Azure Dev that will help you to implement all of these practices that I'm talking about. So let's start with Kubernetes. I'm gonna do a Kubernetes quick recap. I'm not going to spend too much time here because I really want to show you the how to create a CI/CD pipeline and that you can see what I'm meaning with all the points that I previously was talking in practice, right? So let's start. Why Kubernetes? With Kubernetes, it's really easy to have immutable infrastructure. You won't be caring too much about this is server A, server B, server C. It won't matter because what will matter is that you can turn off that instance, and you can spin up a new instance, a new server, and everything should keep working. Same with containers and product and pods. You can, if you're having problems, you can easily terminate that or remove them from the load balancer and investigate later. But the idea is that you don't spend time trying to fix things as you normally or traditionally will do. Just spin a new server or a new container and that's it. It scale out very easily. You can have a state definition in file, like meaning that Kubernetes is mainly based on a state. You can define the state that you want for your application. And I'm going to do that. You can, for example, say that for this application, I want three replicas and I want these three replicas to be exposed as a service. And that service should be a load balancer, for example. And Kubernetes will make sure that you, all the time, the application has three replicas that is exposed as a service and is a load balancer. And it's public or is internal and so on and so on. You can run local. And that means that if you can run local with Kubernetes, you can run anywhere. Now that Docker for Windows and for Mac has the support for Kubernetes natively, you can host your Kubernetes environment locally. And that's basically what I'm also going to do today. I'm going to test my changes locally with a Kubernetes instance locally on my machine. And then I'm going to create a pipeline to push that to another environment. Rollbacks are very easy because you just need to say, okay, let's update the service, let's update the deployment with the previous version, and Kubernetes will make sure that you won't have a downtime there because the default policy is that Kubernetes will update your containers in a reliable manner, meaning that it will be doing running updates, not everything will drop everything and will bring everything up again. It is pretty safe. You will have high availability because I was saying before, Kubernetes is mainly based on state. How Kubernetes does that, Kubernetes has etcd, where it's a NoSQL database where Kubernetes stores the state of the cluster. You will find there how many nodes how many workers the cluster has, how many containers, how many pods, how are they configured, and things like that. You can easily configure security controls for your applications, and you can do a lot more things. So, but this is just a quick recap. I'm gonna stop there. The Kubernetes architecture is as follows. You will have Kubernetes master nodes, which this is usually called control nodes. And the ideal scenario is that you have three servers here. Then this control plane will expose an API where a user interface and a command line interface will interact with Kubernetes. And on the right side, you will find that you have worker nodes, where all the containers or the pods will be hosted, and it should have access to an image registry or a Docker repository. It could be something private. It could be something public, like as we were speaking for GitHub. Kubernetes capabilities, and this is really the powerful thing from Kubernetes, because you can implement something like that, something like this, as you're seeing in my screen, where you can have a service exposed to the public, and you can work internally on how to promote changes. For example, you could have internal set of services and pods that only your team will test, like UAT, like a UAT environment, for example. Then you can promote those same changes, meaning that you will update the service with a new version of the container of the container image for a canary, in a canary way that only your free users will be experiencing, and that will be only 5% of your users. Then, if everything keeps working as expected, you will promote your changes to a canary for your paid users. But you're not going to do it for all your users. You can do the proper configurations to promote those changes to a service that only receives 5% of the traffic from your site. Then, if you have tested everything in three different ways, everything should be working, right? So you can promote those changes to production environment, and that will be the 100% of the traffic. You can wait as long as you want between these steps. You can wait for an hour or 2 hours, or if it's a delicate change, you can wait for a longer time, but it doesn't matter. The idea is that you can do this with Kubernetes. So basically, as I was saying before, you need to spin up three masters and things like that. You will actually, I would recommend you to play around with Kubernetes the hard way. It's a tutorial that's out there in GitHub. I can remember, well, I didn't put the link here, but I can share it later, where you can spin up Kubernetes at the hard way, at your way, by setting up the instances by your own, configuring things, configuring certificates and things like that. And you will notice that you won't, that's something you don't want to have. So that's why you will use services like this, Azure Kubernetes Services, where Azure will take care of all the master nodes for you. And the good thing is that you don't pay for them. You only pay for the worker nodes, and that's a really good thing. It integrates with other Azure services very easily. You can create a cluster in minutes, and actually I'm gonna demonstrate that for you, but because I don't have too much time, I'm not going to wait for the cluster to be up and running. It supports Airbag for security purposes, and it has integrated logging and monitoring and many other things that are out of scope of this talk. So let's keep moving. How would you do DevOps with Azure? Well, now you have DevOps Azure product, which previously was named as BSTS. The good thing for Kubernetes is that you can have agents anywhere, and I'm gonna explain that why that is good in the demo. You have native Docker support, integrates easily with any cloud, integrates easily with Kubernetes, even if you install for some reason Kubernetes the hard way. You can build once and deploy anywhere, and has extensions for common technologies like Terraform, Ansible, and things like that. So in a DevOps world, you will have pretty much everything you need to implement your CI/CD pipeline. And we're going to practice what I just told you before, how to make deployments smoother. So finally, how would you do, this is like a improved version of a typical story now that you are implementing DevOps. This is like the end goal. It doesn't mean that you will have this from the very first day, although it will be good for new projects. But the idea with DevOps is that you could start working in small batches, as I was saying before, and don't get stressed if you don't have a pipeline from day one, although it's very easy to create one. This is a progressive improvement task that you need to be aware that you can start doing small improvements in the way that you are delivering the application. How to deploy in minutes then? You push your code changes to version control, integrate it in an isolated environment like Azure DevOps. You build portable Docker image. You deploy in a production-like environment. You run automated tests and repeat, deploy and test again in other environments. And when you deploy in another environment, steps 1 through 3 are not going to be needed anymore because you already have everything that you need packed in a Docker image. And it is a matter just of pushing the changes to the environment. So that's enough talking for me. It's demo time, so let's jump back to the console. If you're not seeing my screen, please let me know. I'm going to create I'm going to show you how easy it is to create a cluster. You can have here service, Kubernetes service, and it's pretty easy. I'm gonna create here a new one, and let's say if net demo, and let's say it is going to use an existing let's use an existing resource group. It's going to .NET demo, and I'm gonna write here .NET demo.
We pause.
You choose the region, you choose the Kubernetes version. This is the latest version. You can choose the node sites, the worker nodes. And by default, it has DS2B2, and it by default has three nodes. You can set up authentication here. It will create for you a service principal. This is the you will need this to interact with other Azure services. I'm gonna leave this as default, but this is where you can enable Airbag. Next, you can enable work with pretty custom configurations for your network, but I'm gonna leave that as default. Monitoring, you have, as I was saying before, you have login and monitoring enabled by default. Tags, if you would like to have tags to for center cost on things like that, you will wait a little bit as the service principal is created. It will run the final validation, and that's it. You will have your, after this is great, I'm gonna click here, and I'm gonna have my Kubernetes environment in just minutes. So let's create this, and that's it. That's how easy it is to create a cluster with Azure. So let's jump back to the one I previously created for demo purposes. I'm gonna create. This is the cluster that I spin up for the demo. So you can see here that you will have things like what is important for us now is that you have the access to that cluster. And let me show you how you can do that. You can say here, like, view Kubernetes dashboard, and you will need to install the Azure CLI. You will need to log in. If you don't have kubectl installed, you will need to install it. Then you need to download the credentials, which I'm going to do right now. You can run this command, and it will download the credentials. And it will change to you by default to the context to this cluster. So let's jump back to browse the cluster, and you will see that that is going to create a tunnel where you can see the graphic interface of the cluster that I just created, that I previously created on Azure. And this is pretty awesome because you have the dashboard interface pre-installed. You don't have to configure anything, and you will have here the usage, the memory, the workloads, and so on, the pods. You will have the service here, services here. And let's jump back to the service that I just published, an application that I used for demo purposes, which here you can see that says .NET Conf online. The way that I'm going to do is that to do this right now is that I will create a new change here, and I'm gonna change this, and I'm gonna push that. But let's start first by going to Azure DevOps, and this is how you will create a CI/CD pipeline. Let's start by creating a new project. I'm gonna create here a new project, and let's call it site, for example. I'm gonna leave it as private, but you can have it like public. And you can here you can choose if you would like to use Git or TFS, or if you would like to have a dashboard work with Agile, CMMI, or Scrum. I'm gonna leave that as default because it's not the purpose of this demo right now. And then it is going to have a empty code repository, but I'm going to migrate the code from the code that I have here in my GitHub account. It is not that I'm not doing this because Azure DevOps doesn't have support for GitHub, but it's because I didn't want to mess with a working demo, with a working demo code, and I'm gonna replicate things, and it will be you will see that it is the same experience that you will have as if you were working with GitHub. So repos, I'm gonna click here with to repos. I'm gonna import the code, so I'm gonna click here and I'm gonna copy this, and because it's public I don't require any authentication, and I'm gonna import it. Let's wait a little bit. It won't take too much time. It is basically cloning the code to the repository here. Then the next thing that I'm going to do is that I will clone the repository to my local file. And let's go here, and you can click here, clone. I already have configured an SSH key on my computer, so I can easily do things like the things here, where I can, I'm gonna close the proxy here, because I'm gonna come back to this later. So let's go here, git clone, and it will download the code that I just migrated, and you can see that has the code here, and it is pretty standard code. Let me open that. Let's here open, and it is the demo site. You can open that, and as you can see, it is pretty standard, but I'm gonna take the opportunity to review some important files that we're going to use. This is, for example, the Docker file, and this is the file that it will use to build the Docker image. So let's say, for example, that I run here the Docker build command. I'm gonna tag it, and I'm gonna create it with my username, and I'm gonna call it simple app. And I'm gonna call it latest, and I'm gonna say that the context is the current one. Oh wait, I need to enter to the. So let's run the same command again. Has the Docker file here? Let's see, Docker. Ah, it was missing a D. Docker build. So it will, as I already had these images, these base images downloaded to my computer, it will skip that and it will start to compile it, to compile the application. And while this finishes, let me show you something here. This is the Docker that for Mac that I have running. You can see that you can have Kubernetes here installed. You can just click here, and Docker will do everything for you. But what I really like is that you have an easy way to switch back to the context for the Docker desktop, for example, or you can switch back to the one that we have in Azure. So I'm gonna change this to the Docker, to the desktop version. And I'm gonna create a new window. Here, let's see, for example, let's run this CTL get pods, for example. As you can see, there's nothing there. If I run this command previously, I will see the pods that were running in Azure. So let's jump back here. And let's create, for example, for some reason, my environment is not working with local. The Kubernetes cluster is not working when it's pulling the local images. So I'm gonna push this this image to my repository. As I said before, this is not necessary. It shouldn't be necessary because you will use your local environment. But for demo purposes, I'm gonna leave this, but with a warning. So let's wait a little bit, and you can see that it is already pushed. And I'm gonna go back to the console here, and you will see that the latest version is there. So now what I'm going to do is, usually what I will do to test everything is that I will run the command here, but because I don't have too much time right now, let's go back to the deployment YAML here for that I will use for Kubernetes. As I was saying before, you will declare here a deployment. You will say here that you want 3 replicas, and this is the image that you're going to use. And this image is this file is, because it is in version control, I'm gonna change latest with the version that the pipeline is created. This is going to make sense what I'm doing, but because I don't want to change too much things to test locally, I'm gonna leave that as that. So let's see how will you run that. I'm gonna deploy that locally just with a command. Kubectl get pods. You will see that it's creating the pods, and you will see that it has created a service with external API as localhost. So let's see how it is running. So because it is exposed on port 80 and it is on localhost, it should be working, right? Let's go here directly, and if I don't have anything else running on port 80, it should work, and it works, right? So I'm running this version of the application on my machine locally. So let's jump back on how would you create something for the, because I was saying before that someone or something will build the application. So this is how would you do this. This is how would you create a pipeline. You will go to Azure DevOps. You will click here in pipelines, builds, and create a new pipeline. And because I don't want a YAML description right now to have this as infrastructure as well, I'm gonna use a visual designer so that everything that I'm doing makes sense for you, and it is easy to understand. So I'm gonna choose the repository here, but as you can see, I can integrate it with any other code repository. I'm gonna click here on empty job. And I'm gonna leave that way. I'm gonna choose here, I'm gonna change here the agent to a hosted Ubuntu because I'm compiling containers in a Linux, in Docker for Linux. So I'm gonna choose that. This is how it will, you will see which project is pulling from. This is going to be the pool of agents. I'm gonna leave that as default. And as well as I did locally, I'm gonna build this is the extension that I was talking about, Azure DevOps. I'm gonna build the image, and I'm gonna choose this, and I'm gonna here create. I'm gonna start creating the connection to the registry that I have created here. It doesn't mean that you cannot integrate it very easily with Azure Container Registry in a private way, but I wanted to do it this way so that you can see that it is pretty easy to do that. Next, you're gonna click here on Manage. Sorry if I'm doing this too fast. I'm gonna create here a new connection to my Docker Hub account. So let's click here, Docker Registry. Let's choose here Docker Hub. I'm gonna just here Docker. Username, my super password. I'm gonna verify that the connection is working. I think I didn't put the verify. Okay, so the connection has been created, and I'm gonna jump back to the screen here. I'm gonna click here to update the connection, and you can see that the connection is there. I'm gonna run the command build, and if you're not sure about where is the file, you can click here and you will see what the files you have for the repository. You choose Dockerfile and you will here put an image name. So I'm gonna put my username here, and I'm gonna put here simple app, and I'm gonna remove this. And I'm going to change this. Let's do this. Let's copy this. You will understand why in a minute. Why I'm doing this. Change this here to variable that I will create, and that's it. This is how you will build the image. The next step is that you will push the image, right? So let's do this, and let's choose here the connection. This is where it is going to be very useful. And you will hear push. It will change the text to push command. And it should be the same image that you just built. You should change this here. Let's go change this. So the next step is that, remember that I mentioned that I'm going to change this the latest to the version that is getting built. So that's why I need to create an environment that is version, for example, and I'm gonna put it here 1. Whatever. So let's go here, save that, and then what I'm going to do is that I need to replace that, and I'm gonna do it as simple as running on a command line script. And I have the command here. It is pretty standard set a replace. It will replace what is latest, the value latest with the version to the file, the .NET deployment YAML. Next, the way that this process will communicate with the release is that it will publish the artifacts. Because I'm gonna use the deployment YAML that I have here to run the same command that I run locally in Azure, I need that file. So I'm gonna put a name here, and I'm gonna say Kubernetes YAML, for example. Let's say that we only need to include in that artifact the YAML to make it not to leave it as light as possible. Let's hear YAML, for example, and let's keep that. So I'm gonna save it cube. I'm gonna save it on cube. I'm gonna keep using the default configuration that I had previously, and this is going to start creating the build. As you can see, it says version 20, but that's because I already have other pipelines created here in the project. And the cool thing here is that you will be able to see the logs in live, and you can see every phase what it's doing, and you can see this later also. And it will initialize the agent, it will initialize the job, it will do check out the code, it will start building the image. But there's something that I'm missing here. As this is going to take a while because the agent doesn't have the image as I already had in my computer. That's why you will like to choose to have a hosted agent in your environment, for example, in Azure, so that this process is going to be more quicker. So quicker, sorry. So let's go back to the pipeline, because I'm missing something here. And when it finished, we're going to review that is working. So let's go edit the pipeline. And what I'm going to do is that after I push the changes in my code, this will trigger a new build. So it will it is as easy as going here triggers, and you will click here enable continuous integration. And I'm just gonna save it. Let's see if it already finished. No, but let's go quickly to create. This is the CI pipeline. Let's create the CD part of the process. Let's create the CD, the pipeline, the continuous delivery pipeline. I'm gonna choose as well empty job, And this is where I'm going to connect everything. I'm gonna close this here, and I'm gonna choose the artifact that I already built. It is going to be the demo site that I just created. It is going to be always using the latest version. It will use this alias. I don't care, just leave it that there. And this is how you could enable continuous deployment trigger, meaning that after the build is finished, this release will be triggered. So I'm gonna leave that here. And here, just let me show you this. You can have here pre-deployment conditions, like meaning that someone needs to approve this deployment, this release. And you can do that for other stages. So let's call it here development, so it's clear why I'm doing this development. And as well, you will have agent job. I'm gonna as well use Ubuntu, and I'm gonna start adding something as simple as Kubernetes. You could have here the extension that integrates very easily with Azure Kubernetes Service, or you can integrate this with other clusters that you have somewhere else. Luckily for us, this is this extension is already here. And I'm gonna integrate this with Azure. So I'm gonna here and gonna say subscriptions that I already have. If I didn't have this, I will go back to the same screen as I was doing before for the Docker registry. So I'm gonna choose here Microsoft Azure sponsorship. I'm gonna click here. I need to click here and authorize. Oh well, the pop-up. It's closed. And it is going to open a new pop-up window because I need to log in to the Azure to authorize this. So let's go here. And it is going to be as easy as that. I'm gonna sign in. And then it's going to authorize to Azure DevOps to communicate with my Azure account. So that's done. Let's wait a little bit here. And after this finishes, you will be able to see here the resource group. You will be able to see the cluster that I created before. And what I really like here is that you can specify the namespace of the cluster where you would like to deploy this change. But if this is empty, it's going to do it in the default. So let's choose the resource group. Let's choose the cluster, the simple app. Let's do it to the simple app that we already have. Leave everything as default. Choose configuration files. You will then here get to choose the artifact that it finished created, as you can see here, the deployment YAML. So I'm doing that because you don't have to worry about what to put here. It is pretty easy to do that. So I'm gonna save this here, and I'm gonna click that. And that's it. If you would like to create a new release, you will manually, for example, you will create here, create release, you will choose the stage, you will choose the version. As you can see, it is the version 20. And let's create, and you can go here to the release, and it is going to be the same screen. But the missing step is that you need to click here, deploy. You will here click here demo purposes, for example, and deploy, and that's it. That's how you will create a pipeline. The next thing, I don't think I have too much time, is that I will do something here, like for example, if I remember well, it is going to be here. Let's change something here. Demo, for example. Let's save it, and let's say demo change, and commit that change, and let's push it. It doesn't have a graphic way here, but you will see here the code that it has a new change. It has the demo change. You will see that a new trigger is going to be, a new build is going to be triggered. There it is, demo change. Let me show you just one thing here. You will see that in at my repo, you will have the latest version and the version that it just built. So basically, this is the same. It is going to happen the same thing. We already see that the build is working. Let's see if the release is working. Good, it is working. So let's jump back to the cluster for simple app that I have in Azure. And let's clear the screen, kubectl get. You will see here that it's creating the new container, and it is adding a new container image and a new pod, but it is keeping the other three that we already have. It is running update. See, it is terminating the other pods, and it is doing the deployment in a safely manner. You can see here that I have the service, and I have the external IP as well here, as I was seeing before in the console, and the release one finished, but because the build hasn't finished yet, it is working. I will keep seeing the same screen without the change, but I'm gonna leave this here. If you have any other question, if you have questions, I think it's the time now. And as I finish answering the questions, I'm gonna go here and update, and you will see that the new change will be here. So that's all for me.
All right, Christian. How we doing?
All right. Doing great.
So we have a question from the chat room I want to make sure we cover. Orect okay. says, is YAML build available for .NET framework builds now?
Yes. As you were able to see, when you create here a new pipeline, the default option is YAML. What it is not supported yet is that the build definition that I did here to export it to a YAML definition, but I think that will come later. But yes, YAML is supported. Any other question?
Oh, that's so cool.
Here that is.
Yeah, that's cool.
It is the new version here. And you will see here that the new release will be triggered automatically. Hey, there it is. So this is truly one-click deployment. I just pushed, I didn't click anything. I just pushed the change, and I let Azure DevOps do the rest.
So we've got some folks that are in the chat room that are saying they really like this content. They can't wait to see it on a replay so they can go out and check out videos on demand. Of course, there will be video on demand available here on Twitch. We're going to also cut this video, put it together on our YouTube channel so folks can see that as well. And there's our ASP.NET Core websites.
That's cool.
Great stuff.
Cool. Awesome.
All right.
Why did it work?
So MagicNet asks, how did you disable the old releases link?
Where?
I'm so you've got the exactly releases and the releases star link. I'm actually kind of excited to hear that answer too.
Uh-huh. How do you stop this? Is that what you're saying, or?
Does he have the releases star? No, I meant on the sidebar. I think what he's asking is on the sidebar, you see how you've got the releases star tab? When I look at that in my own, I see releases with no star and then releases with a star. Do you know if that's something that is like a VSTS to Azure DevOps migration thing, or do you have any insight as to why some of us see two releases tabs?
Yeah, that might be the reason, because I created this project from scratch, so okay. that's why you might be seeing something different.
That's
because
probably
I think for this project, you won't see that.
All right.
Makes sense. Awesome presentation. Yep.
So where can we go to get some more information? Do you have some resources for us?
Yep. You can always find me on my blog or on Twitter. I publish a blog post every week. So you can find me here. Here's my contact information, and I'll be happy to answer any question that the audience have.
Awesome. And let's put up your information real quick. There we go. So there's your Twitter, so folks can connect with you. And there's your blog up top. Great stuff. I think we're good here. Thank you so much, Christian. We really appreciate you joining us here for .NET Conf this year. This has been great.
Cool. Thanks to you.
Thanks, guys.
All righty.